Luke chapter number 22, and I'm going to pick out a few verses here and read them to you. And of course, most of you know this is a hard time that the Lord is facing. He'll wind up in the Garden of Gethsemane where he'll pray till his sweat became, as it were, the Bible said, great drops of blood. And he's facing the cross, facing one of the darkest times of his as far as his earthly life. And I want to give you a little bit from that story that'll help us as we deal with some dark days that might be ahead of us. Verse number 15, he said unto them, talking to the disciples, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Turn over to verse number 44, if you would. And the Bible said, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he arose from prayer and was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Look at verse number 53. Jesus, talking to the crowd that came to deliver him, he said, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. And they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, they were sat down together. Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. You can be seated. Could you imagine living with those words that you have said? And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of regrets. As I look back, some mistakes I've made, some things I've said, and a lot of disappointments. And I look through the dark times and the dark days that we're facing. I want to preach a while, if I can, on dealing with the darkness. Dealing with the darkness. And I know in our days, times you're going to have to face the darkness as it comes up. There's going to be trials that will come your way, things that you do not understand, and the things you're going to have to go through that you're going to wonder why that you have to go through them. We serve a God who is sovereign in all ways. He's able to do anything he wants to do. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and in earth. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And there's times, though, that he's going to allow us to face some things in our life to strengthen us, to help us, and to carry us forward, to be able to use us greater for his name's sake in the future. I'm glad I don't have to figure it all out. Somebody say amen right there. Because these things I just don't understand. But I'm glad I serve a God who knows and does all things well. Amen. But as I look at this story this morning, I think about dealing with the darkness. Let me give you a few things I can. An introduction about Jesus facing some of his darkest hour. Number one, I think about the greatest desire you have could come to pass on your darkest day. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you. Now I look back through the gospel and I tried to find any kind of statement like that. When Jesus told them that he desired something earthly with them, or he had a desire with him or his disciples, and I could not find him. Here you have Jesus, his desire to spend time with his disciples just happened to fall on one of the hardest days of his life. Now, when I think about desires, I can look around this church and I could ask you, what would be your greatest desire that you want to happen as far as in the service of God or work of God? I think about my mama, who in North Carolina is not saved. I can think about family members, loved ones. I think about victories in Haiti and things I want to see God do. But do you realize every desire that I would mention to you this morning has no significance to whether I'm going through the darkness or whether I'm standing in sunshine? That means I, as a child of God, are going to have to learn to deal with the darkness, because sometimes the greatest things might happen on my darkest day. So the Lord help us to learn how to deal with the darkness. Number two, I think about the darkness. I think about Jesus. Turn over to the Gospel of John, if you would, in chapter number 13. I'll flip around in John a little bit today because John mentions the most about this last time with the disciples and this. Anybody here at chapter number 13, say amen when you get there. All right, hold your hand on your Bible. Lay it and let the pages fall over in your hand. I want you to take chapter number 13 and then flip over to chapter number 14. Of course, is that great verse, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. When you get there, turn over to chapter number 15. That great portion of scripture when Jesus said, I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. Turn over to chapter number 16, if you will. Keep holding those pages in your hand. And in chapter number 16, we are taught the persecutions and hard times are going to come. And he's dealing, of course, a lot in here with Israel. Chapter number 17, the great prayer of our Lord is mentioned. And then in chapter number 18, as he crossed over into the Garden of Gethsemane. Now you're holding in your hand chapter number 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Six verse chapters you are holding in your hand that the Lord gave us on one of the darkest days of his life. In chapter number 13, the Passover comes at sundown. In chapter number 18, when Jesus is betrayed, you have sun up. That means in chapter number 13 to chapter number 18, Jesus gives us the most he has ever given us of one night, and it was on the hardest night of his life. Listen, Sunday school teachers and people, these times when you don't feel like going, you don't feel like doing, you don't feel like, being a witness or alive. But listen, Jesus can do the most even on your darkest day. That's why Paul told Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. There's times you're not going to feel like it. There's times you're going to be facing darkness and uncertainty. But we must stay faithful because God can work whether we're in the sunshine or in the darkness. Somebody say amen right there. Jesus gave us the most on the darkest day of his life. Next of all, Jesus learned the most on the darkest day of his life. In the book of Hebrews, and I'll turn over there to chapter number 5. I believe it is. I'm going to have to find this if I can. No, it's chapter 5 and verse number 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offer up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse number 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now Jesus wanted to be a perfect high priest. He wanted to be used of God, to be used of his Father, to be a help to you and I. Anybody know how that he learned how to help us through the darkness? He learned how to help us through the darkness, through his darkness, through the darkest days of his life. Jesus would learn the most that would help him to help others down the road. I like in Corinthians when Paul said that God comforted us in all of our troubles. He said that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Anybody ever punch you on the arm and say, pass it on? Well, sometimes the devil might punch you in the arm, but Jesus will let you pass it on. Amen. Listen, you can help someone else when you've been through some troubles and trials. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't think anybody could get depressed if they were saved. You know why? Because I was standing in the sunshine, buddy. Jesus had picked me up and was carrying me. But I learned quick on down the road, there's times the Lord also, who had the ability to carry me, was going to let me walk through some darkness to help me to learn and help me to be a help to someone else. Who here really wants to be used of God this morning? Slip your hand up. I really want the Lord to use me. How many would agree? We're in troubled times. And how on earth can we help someone through troubled times if we've never faced troubled times? Now, there's times early in my Christian life that somebody would have come up and said, brother, I'm facing some dark times. I'm facing, and they could have went through what they were going through. And all I could say is, brother, I could pray for you, but I could not offer a whole lot, maybe some verses. But you know what? I'm 17 years down the road. I'm still a spring chicken. But there's been some times I have gone through some dark hours. And now someone draws up next to me and says, brother, I'm going through some dark times. I don't know if I'll ever make it. But you know what? I'm able to be a crutch in those times and say, brother, I've been there. I know what that feels like. I've wondered at times if I would make it through the darkness. But don't lose courage. Listen, Jesus will bring you through it. And the Lord brought me through. I could look back and see how God helped me in those times, how God taught me in those times, and how the Lord helped me to learn the most in my darkest hour. Next of all, and I think about Jesus kept his testimony in his darkest hour. Now, if I went around this room, I could think about things we have done that maybe hurt our testimony. How many would agree that it's tough in the darkest hour to have the right spirit, to have the right attitude? And at times you can say things or just in your, listen, in your person, in your being, your spirit's aggravated and you're able at those times to say things you'll later regret. How many would agree with that? You have to learn to deal with the darkness if you want to maintain your testimony in the day and hour in which we live. Now let me run through this if I can, try to be as brief as possible. But I think about dealing with the darkness, I think number one about stopping the process or progress of the flesh. Now I think about Jesus facing one of the darkest days of his life. But Jesus also looked at Peter and he made this statement. He said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not. So here Jesus is facing one of his darkest days. Along with him is Peter, also facing the darkness, facing the attack of the adversary and trials that were going to come his way. But as I look at the two of those, I see a perfect example of Jesus being a picture of the Spirit, being a picture of maturity and perfection of what we should do on our darkest day. I also see Peter, a picture of the flesh. He was young in the Lord. And his process and what he reacted, and we can learn some things of what not to do when we face the darkest hour. Let me run through this and then I'll back up and preach a little bit on it. Number one, the first steps when they were facing their darkness, you'll find Jesus praying, but you'll find Peter sleeping. There's times when you face the darkness that you just feel like going to bed. How many's been there? I'll have to be honest. I've faced some darkness before. Listen, I went to bed a little early. I said, the devil, the whole world can have it today. I'll face you tomorrow. Anybody ever done that? Listen, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus worked all night on the darkest day of his life. Can I tell you why? Jesus was not going to give an inch. Sometimes, listen, that because we give in and we want to give out and lay down and listen, just hope it went away. Turn on a television and maybe try to get your mind off things. But you know where you'll find Jesus? You'll find Jesus praying until he got help. You'll find Peter sleeping. The second thing you find is Jesus showing kindness, and you'll see Peter drawing his sword. Jesus reacted in a proper way to opposition, but Peter drew his sword and cut someone's ear off. I'm talking about the process of the flesh. You'll find Jesus showing kindness. You'll find Peter drew his sword. You'll find Jesus testifying, but you'll find Peter denying and even cursing beside the fire. You'll find Jesus finished his work, but Peter winded up back on a fishing boat, away from the Lord with regrets of what he did. I said all that to say this, there's times what matter most is your initial reaction when darkness comes. Because I can tell you the reaction of the flesh is going to be to ignore it, to let it go, to go to bed and face it another day. But I tell you what Jesus did, Jesus prayed till he got help. You know what? These times we'll wind up wondering why we winded up into the place that we didn't handle contention well. And we're drawing a sword. We're in a battle. How many of you realize on your darkest day, somebody's always got something silly to say? And you're like, why did they have to say that today? Of all days, of any time, why did they have to say that today? Anybody ever been there? And you know what you want to do? You want to draw your sword and cut someone's ear off if you're not careful. And a lot of times, the only thing that's going to determine what you did is whether or not you've got some help in facing your darkness. Some of you here today, you may be facing hard times, and darkness maybe has settled in on you. Listen, don't give up hope. You've got to stand fast. Pray. Thank God you don't have to give the devil anything. Somebody say amen right there. I'd never seen it done and work before. Barry Rackley became my pastor. How many know Brother Rackley? He's a blessing. God's touched him and helped him. And we was in a service a while back. We opened in prayer. We went through the motions. We had songs. It was dead as a hammer, brother. Anybody ever been in one of those? I mean, dead. You know what I'd have done? I'd have moved it as quick as I could, said goodbye. We'd have went home and got out of there. But you know what he did? He stopped everything. I don't know how long we've been going, 20 minutes probably. And he said, I'm not giving the devil one service. He said, we're going to back up. We're going to open in prayer again. We're going to sing the same songs. And he said, we're going to mind the Lord and see what God can do in this service. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord broke through the darkness. And the Lord gave us help in that service. It literally blew out in that service. Listen, that we was just about content to let the devil have one. Listen, in your life, it's got to be the same way. Sometimes you've got to be militant about it. Listen, the adversary's trying to steal your joy and steal your testimony and to sift you as weak. But I'm glad the God of heaven's got help, thank God. And you can look under the hills from whence cometh your help. You can pray and ask the Lord to give you strength. You can be honest and say, Lord, you know where I'm at. I'm discouraged. I'm defeated. I'm cast down. But Lord, you're able to help me in my dark hour. And listen, there's help there for one reason. You know why? Because Jesus has faced that dark hour. There's times you want to say, nobody understands where I'm at. Anybody been there? You say, there's nobody knows where I'm at today or what I'm feeling. But as a child of God, you can never, ever claim that. Because Jesus went through the darkness so that you would never have to. He went through it alone so that you would never have to. One of the studies in the Bible that really broke my heart as I studied it was that time between his betrayal and the crucifixion. I began to look and I couldn't find much about it. And I asked him, Lord, why don't we see more about what happened through those hours? And I studied for weeks looking, trying to tie it all together. And I didn't find a whole lot from the time that he was betrayed to the time that he hung on the cross. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, spoke to me. Nobody wrote about what it was like to go through those hours because no one was there to tell about him. Jesus faced the darkness and he faced it alone so that you and I would never have to. Listen, you get in your darkest hour. If you're not careful, you can be like me. And I'm one who closes up, and I just want to be left alone. And sometimes in your dark hour, you can be that same way as you can draw up and curl up and just push away. And you just your personality, you don't mean to do it. But unconsciously, you can do the same thing to the Lord. And the Lord's trying to help you, but you're curled up. And you won't allow Him to be the help that you need. But you have got to have that help, church, because tomorrow may be the day, listen, that someone's going to show up. You'll cut their ear off if you're not careful. Listen, you got to stop the process of the flesh. Number two, I think about learning to adjust to the darkness. There's times you can't act the same way in sunshine as you do in darkness. Unless you're Haitian. I stood amazed. I preach on top of the mountain in Port-au-Prince. It's I don't know, 4 mile hike up a goat trail up to this church. And of course, I preached on up. You know, it was late. We 9, 10 o'clock coming down, marching that. And I have never seen anything like it. I didn't know the human eye could adjust the way it does. But I saw them, I mean, at a fast hike through a goat trail, I mean, washed out and beat down, I mean, big rocks and holes. And they're at a fast walk for 4 miles and nobody ever stumbled. I had a flashlight. It was all I could do to walk down that mountain. I'm serious. And I'm dodging potholes and ruts where it had washed out. But them Haitians with no light whatsoever had learned to adjust to the darkness. Their eyes are just, it was amazing to me how they could walk as fast as they did and nobody ever tripped or stumbled. But I think about learning to adjust to the darkness. I thought about sailing. As he mentioned, I'd sail over to Tortuga Islands, about a 6-mile ride. I've been slapped around, had rocks thrown at me. I've been close enough to the witch doctors to smell them casting spells on them. My trip into the north, we drove a truck, and I would tell my interpreter, the witch doctors always hang a flag above their house to signify that's who they are. So I'd stop at every one of them and try to witness to them. I'd tell them, call for the witch doctor, and tell my interpreter, he said, you put me in a bad place. I said all that to say this, nothing in Haiti scares me near as much as a Haitian sailboat. They build them right there on the land. I'm talking about find old crooked trees that they make the hull of that, the frame of that boat out. Then they nail one bows to the sides of it, build it right there on the land. Then they overload it, they overuse it. Some of them tits, they're plugging water out of it all the time. And here I am. Now, 6 miles is a pretty long swim. Somebody say amen. Yeah. You get in the middle, if that goes down, which is about the roughest area to sail, if they are going to go down, they'll go down the middle. And swimming 3 miles is a lot of swimming, especially for a chubby preacher, you know. But I began to learn as I look more and more about sailing, the more I realize that it's a lot like our Christian life. As you sail, the boat never goes in the direction you want it, hardly ever. Now, if you're using an outboard motor or something like that, maybe, but a sailboat, because of the way it pushes, we've always got a crosswind. Tortuga Island, it's always the same wind coming from the same direction, 25, 30 mile an hour at times. And we sail, if I was going to Tortuga Island, the wind's coming from the west, going to the east. From the east to the west, I'm sorry. And we're always sailing like towards this back wall or maybe towards this wind or where the camera is. And we're always sailing into the wind to go to Tortuga Island. I didn't know sailboats could do that, but because of that waves or the wind pushing the way it does, that ship is never pointed to where we're going. If we're sailing towards 2 o'clock, that boat is always pointed towards 2:30. Because of the push of the wind as you go, it kind of pushes us in a drift as we're going. So all the time, it's pointed at least, somewhere a few degrees to the right of where you're headed. And there's no way that you can control that, or in no way you can lay that out. It has to be by keeping your sight on the target. And you have to adjust more and lean more the harder and stronger the wind is. And it's that way in your Christian life. And the thing the adversary wants you to do is to get your eyes off of the target, to get your eyes off the mark. As the Lord's blessing your life and He'll lead you to do things, I promise you, opposition's going to come. You might be like that sailboat. You're going to have to adjust. You're going to have to face, listen, your darkest hours and keep your eyes on Jesus so that you don't get blown off course. You're going to have to focus on the direction God has for you. What you'll find in Jesus' prayer that night in the Garden of Gethsemane is this prayer always being said, not my will, but thine be done. And the one thing you'll do is begin to question things God put in your life and question things that the Lord wants you to do because there's so much opposition. Do you realize some of your greatest opposition is going to be because you are doing what God wants you to do in your life? And the adversary hates it. He fights it. He can't stand it. And you're going to have to keep sight, keep a target, keep focus. Listen, and stay with God in your darkest hour. You're going to have to keep focus. You know what else I learned about sailing? Is you cannot hold contrary winds. As they're sailing into the wind, they have to tighten that sail as tight as they can get it. And it works like a shear. The wind pushes that boat as it goes. Anytime that sail begins to get loose and cups the wind, it'll lay that boat over. I'm talking, we've been on it sometimes, and the port side of that boat be cutting 1.5 feet underwater. And the more you hold the wind, the more it lays you over. Those men go up and they grab that sail and they're tugging. And they're fighting for inches, literally. Looks like they never get anything, but they're pulling and tugging. Fighting for every inch because you cannot hold contrary winds. You know what'll happen in your darkest hour if you're not careful? And your spirituality, your spirit, the way you react is going to be determined a lot by how much you hold on to and how much you're willing to let go. You cannot hold contrary winds. Listen, I told you, there's times in your darkest hour people are going to amaze you. You're going to be like, why did they say that on their darkest day? Next thing you know, that might have said that on Sunday. It's what you're holding come Monday. And still, it's on your mind how someone has crossed you. Or it's in your mind, listen, how bad the storm is. And you can get bitter if you're not careful down the road. If you don't learn to fight every bit of that out, you pull and you tug. And you cannot hold contrary wind. There's been times in my life, especially early in my Christian life, that people would do things. It'd take me 6 months to get over it. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Anybody ever had one of those fiery darts stuck in you that continues to burn?
Yeah.
And their word, the Bible said, eats like a canker. At times people do you wrong. But your mind likes to meditate upon those things. You're going to have to tighten the ship, pull the sails, keep as much of the contrary wind out of your sails if you're going to go on for God in the right direction. I tell you what else they do is they seek to pump the water out. As those boats lay over in the wind, if there's water in the bottom of that boat, the water rolls around with it. It'll roll around into the side of the ship when it's laid over, and it'll make it to where it's slow to stand back up. So anytime you see contrary winds and those waves come up, we wind up soaking wet sometimes as we sail over, just the waves beating over. So you'll see a man tugging at the sail, another one, and they're real sophisticated. Sometimes they amaze me with what they can do.
Yeah.
And their bilge pump is a long, like a broom handle, with a cloth tied onto the end. And then they've got a stopper, and they, as you push it down, the cloth straightens out. But when they pull it back up, the cloth wads up and pulls the water up with them. And they make their own bilge pump. It's pretty amazing to see them do it. But one man's tugging at the sails, the other one's pulling water. Because you cannot hold anything contrary in the ship if you're going to make it and make it right. Listen, child of God, these times people are going to hurt you. And when they hurt you, unforgiveness is completely contrary to the flesh. I tell you what Jesus said, because we're a forgiven people, we must be a forgiving people.
Yes.
Jesus forgave us of all of our sins, and it is our place as Christians. Listen, to make sure we don't get in the place that we're holding things against others. We must be a forgiving people. Now, there's times you can get crossed up, people do you wrong, and it happens with family at the church house. Listen, with friends, and things happen. And you can get to holding and harboring those things if you're not careful, and it'll sink your ship. Amen. Listen, you must be a forgiving person if you're going to go on for God in contrary winds, because things are going to happen and people are going to amaze you. Sometimes today you can get hurt and you've got your 15 reasons why they should not have done what they done. Anybody ever been there?
Amen.
I mean, they knew better than to do that. They did that on purpose. They did that. They do it every time. Anybody ever had one that does it every time? Listen, and they cross and you're like, what in the world? And next thing you know, you can get all tore up. But listen, you've got to be like that sailor and pull those sails. Be a forgiven person and learn to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Some of you kids like that song, Let It Go. Some of our grown-ups are going to have to learn to let it go. Amen.
Yeah.
Lord help us. Number three, don't get bitter at the captain. It's amazing to me, Hastings ladies are pretty aggressive. I've had a switch in. I've had rocks thrown at me. I had one lady, was demon possessed. She picked a rock up. I thought, buddy, I am fixing to get it. And I mean, she was demon. Her body was even doing things that it was wild. Had a big rock in her hand, and me on a four-wheeler trying to just get past her. I had one come out. Switched me with a hickory, literally. I'd stuck my leg out to keep her off of me, and she switched my leg with a hickory. I went back through the next time. She had a wine bottle, went to crack me in the head with a wine bottle. And the next time she threw me a mango, was grinning ear to ear. So I had no clue why we were enemies or why we were friends. But those ladies amazed me. And on the sailboats, you know, it's sailing. It's into the wind. It's into the waves. And those waves splash up. Sometimes you're soaking wet. You can taste the salt on your lips where you've been sprayed. But I've noticed every time you hit one of those waves and it splashes up over you, every lady on that ship turns around and gives the captain a dirty look. I promise you. It's pretty funny to sit there and watch. I mean, they all look back. They give them a dirty look. Wonder why the captain allowed that wave to get him. Do you realize waves are going to come and we're going to have to be prepared to accept it? There's times you can't get bitter. Listen at life for the hard times. And sometimes as a weak Christian, you can get just plumb aggravated that you're having to go through those things when God is able to avoid all of it. But there's times you're not going to understand, but you have to learn to prepare and don't get bitter. Next of all, and I'm almost done, you look for a good gust to come. It's only happened once, sailing across, but I notice it must happen a lot while they're sailing because they knew exactly how to react to it, what to do. As we were still probably a half a mile from land, and they completely lost wind. I mean, the wind was just gone. Our sails came to nearly nothing. And the captain of that boat turned it. It'd be turning it toward the west, which is the opposite direction where we needed to go. And I'm thinking to myself, what is fixing to happen? I'm going to have to walk up this land. I carry about 4 bags of stuff when I go, all I could carry. I had a generator with me that trip. And, man, I'm going to fix. But you know what they knew? They knew if they waited long enough that there's a good wind fixing to come. No way you could learn that. You had to be taught that. There's no way you could tell sailing into a crosswind that if they went just a little further, there's fixing to come. It would be an easterly wind. And I don't know if it's because of the shade of the island or how that works. I don't know. It amazed me. But those sailors ran up to the front of that ship and they all grabbed, unhooked all the, the tackling, and they're standing there with the rope in their hand. And I'm thinking, what's fixing to happen? But as soon as they felt it, the captain screamed out, and those men went to work. They dropped that front sail. What they had to do is drop it from one side and run it around and tie it off on the other. And then they had to take the sail that was laying, it would be laying on this side, and flip it around to the other side. And that captain cut the wheel after he yelled. And I mean, those sails were changed within, I doubt it even took a minute. Those sailors had dropped the one, changed it around, raised it back up, tightened it up, and had switched that sail from one side to the other. And all of a sudden, that wind hit that sail, filled it up, and here we go, completely contrary to what I thought we would be going. Sailing straight in what I thought would be the wind, but we were right on the other side. I said all that to say this. There's times, listen, that the contrary winds are coming. The adversary would want you to believe this is what you've got, this is all it's going to be. He'll say things like, this is what you get for serving God. But you be patient. There won't be long when those winds will ease up. Listen, that contrary wind that's caused you to work so hard and hurt you is from heaven. There'll be that good gust of wind. Thank God that'll fill your sail. All of them was rejoicing. They always race when they go across. And because our boat was more prepared than the other, I don't know if our captain was just more experienced, but they knew exactly what was happening, and the one boat had beat us there until they lost wind. Then our captain was able to catch up with them, turn that boat the other direction, and we probably beat them by 5 minutes. I'm being honest, because he knew that help was coming soon. Listen, children, these times, any of it just get weary. You can get weary of well-doing. Jesus knew where to resort. Aren't you thankful for those places? I know in my mind right now, there's certain places I can go that I'll always find help. I have a good friend in Resaca, Georgia, named Brother Sammy Allen. Now, every time I go down there, he has me preach. So it's not like I'm going to get help from his preaching, although his preaching helps me. But just being around him, just being there helps me. I know I can resort there if I have to. Thank God for my home church. These times I get out on the road and I get dry, I get defeated, and I get weary and well-doing. Thank God I can get back to the house of God. The Lord, give me exactly what I need to keep going. Keep that place that you can resort to. And always look for that positive wind. So listen, you don't know when it's coming. But you be ready to receive it. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Brother, I don't know if you want to turn it over to you. But I want to ask you this morning, are you going through the darkness? Have you faced hard times that you don't understand? And in that, come on, brother, if you don't mind. In that, the adversary is wearing you out, saying, that's what you get, that's what you get. You hold tight, help's on the way. That positive wind's going to blow. Jesus told Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Keep hope, children. Jesus is coming soon.